Brad Friedman, thanks so much for taking some time to join us on the show today.
Hey guys, happy to be here. Thanks for having me on a day that, by the way, we're trying to take off. We've got a guest host in on the broadcast today to try to give Desi Doyen a bit of a birthday break, but that's out the window now because there's just too much going on.
Oh, totally, yeah. Way too much going on. And I'm not sure if you caught our conversation that we were having about this golden calf statue, but what are you making of this thing down at CPAC? Do you think this was a prank, or is this a legitimate statue down there?
Well, you know, when I heard you guys debating this and debating whether the people going to CPAC were idiots enough or not, I mean, is there any debate about that fact? Of course they are idiots. I can't believe that they would be so clever as to come up with Matt's idea of the Golden Calves parody, because that's really smart. So, no, I think it's actually a real statue.
Absolutely. Brad Friedman of the Bradcast joins us now on the show. So a number of topics I wanted to touch on with you today, and of course you are someone who's been fighting for election integrity for a number of years, and what I wanted to get your feeling on about this is the fact that obviously since the 2020 election, Republicans have put a major focus on election integrity, not necessarily with the best motivations, and of course they're basing it on false information. But I want to know your thoughts on this, because it seems like that movement now has been entirely hijacked by these crazy right-wingers who are saying voting machines are flipping votes from Trump to Biden, whereas we're not really talking about a lot of very legitimate concerns we have about our election system.
Yeah, I know. This is a concern because they are trying to hijack that phrase. And as you mentioned, Republicans fighting for election integrity, we're on the radio, so it's hard to actually put quotes around that word, because they are absolutely not fighting for election integrity. They are fighting for voter suppression, period. And they're using those words, election integrity, to try and hoax the country into not noticing what they're actually trying to do. They cannot win, it seems, at the ballot box. They can't change their policy positions to become more popular. So instead, they want to keep people from voting. They are completely, making up this notion that it was voting machines that stole the election from Donald Trump or Joe Biden. Now, as you know, I have been fighting for real election integrity and against the use of these electronic voting and tabulation systems now going on 2 decades. So, I am open to their argument. The problem is they have absolutely zero evidence to back up their argument, and they weren't interested really in finding any. They could have. They could have asked for hand counts around the country. This would have proven their theory that the computers actually changed the results, but for some reason they didn't ask for those hand counts. Where they did get hand counts in places like the entire state of Georgia and in only 2 counties in Wisconsin, the numbers actually matched up with the computerized tabulation numbers. So there is no evidence to support their theory, even though it is, a very real concern. As a matter of fact, this entire nonsense about Venezuela and Hugo Chavez and Dominion and Smartmatic voting machines is based on an article of mine, an exclusive deep dive article that I published back in 2010, tying these various companies together and discussing a tangential relationship to Venezuela and Hugo Chavez, who was alive at the time. They took that, completely reimagined it, bastardized it, and are now presenting it as something we're supposed to pretend is real. They have no interest in election integrity. On the other hand, I do hope, coming out of this, that maybe there will be a few more Republicans who actually do have a genuine concern, and maybe we can do something about this stupid problem that exists, even though they are wrong about it, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's shocking, actually. That was your article from 2010 that they're largely citing as being proof that Venezuela and Hugo Chavez were somehow tied to stealing the election. And, yeah, completely taken out of context. Yeah, that most certainly has to be very frustrating for you.
Well, you know, at first I was delighted. Oh, why am I getting all of this new traffic to the Brad blog and to stories of mine from 2008 to 2010 until I figured out exactly what they were doing? So, you know, I'm flattered that they give a damn enough to read bradblog.com. Unfortunately, apparently they are not very good readers because they just, you know, took what I wrote and, you know, layered on top of it what they wanted to believe, even though my article, which I stand by, says nothing of the sort of what they are alleging. But hey, these are desperate people, and they are willing to lie, cheat and steal in order to win elections, and that's exactly what they're doing here. Unfortunately, it's an attack on the very soul of our country and on democracy itself.
Speaking with Brad Friedman, host of the Bradcast, which you can hear every weeknight at 7 p.m. on AM 950. So in response to what we've seen happen with the 2020 elections is a number of state legislatures around the country posing new voter restrictions. In fact, the latest numbers I saw, we've already had 106 bills proposed thus far in 2021, compared to only 35 that were proposed during the entire year of 2020. So as you've had a chance to look at some of these different statewide restrictions that are going to possibly be put in place, do any of these jump out at you in particular right now?
Well, what they're trying to do is go after mail-in voting, which is quite ironic because it used to be that Republicans used mail-in voting a lot more than Democrats did, so much so that you'll recall for the last 10 years or so, there has been this push by Republicans to mandate photo ID voting restrictions at the polling place. That, of course, is meant to discriminate against Democratic-leaning voters who don't have the specific type of photo IDs that these groups were calling for. But it generally only applied at the precinct when you were voting at the precinct. Why didn't it apply to didn't they add photo ID requirements to mail-in voting? Well, because that was mostly Republican at the time, and they didn't want to hurt their own voters. So now. Now that during the pandemic, absentee voting became much more popular, specifically for Democrats, because Donald Trump was out there telling people to not do it, now they're saying, okay, we need to also apply photo ID restrictions to mail-in voting, and by the way, we should restrict mail-in voting absolutely any way we can, even though many of these bills that they're now trying to pass will overturn absentee voting measures that Republicans themselves had passed in recent years. So they're trying to undo what they themselves did because, Democrats are taking advantage of it by rudely actually voting by it. So they've got to do something. That's what they're doing. Again, instead of coming up with policies that people actually like, that would be a bridge too far, apparently, for these people.
Well, something you were alluding to just a couple of minutes ago caught my attention, and it's the fact that you said prior to the pandemic, it was pretty much Republicans who were benefiting from mail-in voting. When you typically looked at the stats, they were the ones who were typically doing better with mail-in voting. So it is interesting to see how, if these restrictions are put in place for future elections, if that actually could negatively affect them since, well, at least hopefully by 2022 we'll be through the pandemic. But yeah, some of these bills could end up backfiring against them if we return to somewhat normal times when it comes to voting.
Well, it's always been a game of percentages for them. They knew that even at the polling place with their photo ID restrictions, at the polling place, that they were going to be disenfranchising a lot of their own voters, older voters who are unable to get a photo ID, who may not drive anymore so they don't have a driver's license, or who never had a photo ID because many folks were born at home in decades past, so they didn't even have a birth certificate. So they knew they were going to lose a number of their own voters in the bargain, but they gambled, and probably, justifiably so, they gambled that this is going to hurt a lot more of their voters than ours. We don't care if we lose a few of our voters and we lose a lot more of their voters. I presume that's the same stupid math that they're trying to come up with when they're putting restrictions on absentee voting. You know, hopefully they're wrong, and it ends up hurting them more than it, you know, hurts people who are actually, you know, fighting against these ridiculous restrictions. But who knows? This is the game they play. This is how they, frankly, it's the only way that they win. This is why you see the type of partisan gerrymandering now around the country by Republicans. This is why they are fighting so hard against solutions to these problems that you find, for example, in H.R. 1, the For the People Act, which, by the way, needs to be passed. And right now, it's Democrats who are getting in the way of doing that, specifically Joe Manchin in West Virginia and Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona, who are disallowing the Democrats to get rid of the Jim Crow-era filibuster in the U.S. Senate. And, you know, we are all going to pay a price for that. And so now, as much as we love to complain about the Republicans and restricting voting, unfortunately, right now, it's a couple of Democrats in the U.S. Senate who are getting in the way of protecting the voting rights for everyone, by the way, not just for Democrats or progressives, but Republicans, independents, everyone should be should have the right to vote being protected. That's what Republicans pretend to care about. As usual, what they pretend to care about, they actually don't care about at all.
Well, speaking of Republican games, you and Desi, of course, are based out in California. So I want to get your read on what's happening in that state right now with this recall effort against Gavin Newsom, because the way the recall works in California is really interesting, because the first question on the ballot is whether the governor should be recalled or not. And if a majority of people vote yes on that, then you go and select the new governor. So it sets up a possibly interesting scenario for Democrats if there are enough votes to actually recall Newsom, because then all of a sudden you have a wide open race to determine who the next governor would be. So what I'm curious about in the state, are there parallels to what happened in 2003, or are people generally thinking, well, this is just a Republican effort, and we're really not going to put too much stock into this recall effort that we're seeing from Republicans?
Well, it is a repeat of what we saw in 2003 with Gray Davis. Again, you know, it's a case of there are so few Republicans overall in the state that they can't win elections legitimately. So they have to come up with, you know, phony reasons to recall Democratic governors. That's what they did with Gray Davis. Remember, that was about largely about the rolling blackouts that we had here in California due to the manipulation of the energy market by Enron, the exact same deregulation that ended up knocking out power to Texas last week. So they pretended that this was something that that back then Governor Gray Davis did wrong. They used this to their advantage. That's exactly what they're now doing with this attack on Gavin Newsom. Look, everybody wants to blame somebody for the coronavirus and the restrictions on businesses and so forth. And Republicans are just really good at manipulating the media. They're good at manipulating the media, if only because they control the media by and large. I don't have to tell you guys how rare it is to have a radio station like, you know, AM 950. Most cities, most states around the country do not have the kind of access to progressive, independent, progressive media that folks in Minneapolis, St. Paul do. Most of the country, you know, is just stuck with the crap we hear coming from Fox News. Oh, look, there's Gavin Newsom without a mask. We have to recall him. It's, you know, it's nonsense, but the right-wing media plays it over and over again, and the non-right-wing media, the supposedly centrist, you know, corporate broadcast media, who just plays into the right-wing nonsense. So that stuff gets out there. Reality does not get out there. And I think here in California, you know, most of us really aren't paying attention to it at all. That's how Gray Davis ended up losing in the first place years ago. That could happen again right now. Remember, that's how we got Arnold Schwarzenegger in office 20 years ago. So we could see something like that happen again, because Democrats simply don't vote in the same numbers that angry Republicans do. And there are a lot of angry Republicans right now out there, because there is an entire industry devoted to making them angry.
So what should the Democrats be doing in that state to try to counter this recall effort? Because, as I said, it's kind of a catch-22. If you put all your eggs in your basket saying, well, vote no on the recall effort, you potentially could get burned if that question passes because, well, then you got to select a new governor and there could be a whole bunch of crazy right-wing Republicans on that ballot. So what necessarily is the party doing? And I guess expanding on that, what should they be doing to try to counter this recall effort?
Well, you know, it's hard to counter it because it doesn't take all that much. I think it's something like 1.3 million signatures to get a recall effort. And I know that sounds like a big number, but California is a really big state. And for decades, we have had, again, a professional industry that has been built up around gathering signatures for ballot petitions. So, you know, it's actually pretty easy if you can raise enough money, and there's always plenty of money when you're talking about going after after Democrats. So if you can raise enough money, it's pretty easy to essentially buy enough signatures to get anything you want on the ballot, including a gubernatorial recall. What can be done about it? I don't know. I really don't. We'll see if the Democratic Party out here is able to come together to get around, well, to either oppose the recall itself or to rally around Gavin Newsom, but that is made more difficult by the fact that there really is not a progressive, reality-based media on our nation's airwaves anymore. What they hear is right-wing media, damn near everywhere, and I suspect that will continue even with the death of Rush Limbaugh. Because, you know, most places you go, you drive around the country, we're actually on the road right now, you know, I can find three or four different right-wing stations. The corporate media loves to call them conservative, but they're not conservative at all. But I can find, you know, three or four right-wing stations. Good luck finding any progressive media like AM 950. You guys are a rarity. And I, you know, every time I'm on your, you know, on the station, I have to repeat that because I want to make sure that your listeners understand how special and important this station actually is and how unusual it is compared to the rest of the country.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's not many of us left. There's us, Madison, and Chicago. And unfortunately, as you said, yeah, there's not a lot of other progressive media around the country. Hey, that's Brad Friedman with the broadcast that you can hear every weeknight at 7 p.m. here on AM 950. Brad, appreciate the time today. And by the way, happy birthday to Desi. Glad you guys were able to get, well, at least a day off to celebrate her birthday.
I will let her know. I'll pass that on. Thanks, Brett. Really appreciate that. And we will be back with you in person probably next week.
Yeah. And who knows what the news cycle will look like back then or by then. Hey, thanks again, Brad.
Always appreciate it. Take care, guys.
All right. We're going to turn things back over to Matt McNeil coming up next here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.